Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Thursday, October 31st. I'm Lisa Music reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, Redwoods Rural Healthcare Center hires new executive director and permanent providers. And Fort Bragg City Council approves freezer for animal remains and I's new Blues Fest. Stay tuned. News on those stories coming right up. After a year of ups and downs, Redwood Rural Health Center has recently announced the hiring of Executive Director Seth Whitmer. Whitmer is filling the role that Tina Tweet Shibley vacated earlier this year. KMUD News sat down with Whitmer and Terry Clemenson, who was the interim executive director as the health center searched for Tweet Shibley's replacement.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. My name is Terry Clemenson. I'm Director of Operations at Redwoods Rural Health Center, and I'm very excited to let you all meet our new Executive Director, Seth Whitmer. He just started about 2 weeks ago, so he is learning so much every day, and we are very grateful for his expertise, bringing that to our team here in Redway. So I'm handing over to Seth to introduce himself.
All right. Thank you. Well, Terry has been amazing. She's done such a great job holding things together and running the show. She keeps trying to say that she's handing things over to me, but you know, she's still the one doing things. But I'm just moving out here still. I have five kids that two of them are growing up and moving out, and the other three are still at home with my youngest. My little girl, who is 8 years old, and just is the world to me. And then my wife is a respiratory therapist. So yeah, hopefully they'll be coming out here soon. And my experience is that I've worked in long-term care. I've worked in small critical access hospitals. I've also worked in government healthcare, doing contract government work, and then also in the military. So have a bit of breadth of work experience, and I'm excited to be here in Redway, helping the community improve the health outcomes and health care of all of the community here in Redway and Garberville and surrounding areas.
When we spoke, Whitmer was new to the role, having been on the job a mere 2 weeks. However, he shared that his plans for Redwoods Rural Health Center will mainly focus on the dedicated staff already in place.
My vision is really just to keep things going and not get in the way of this amazing team that's here making things happen. So I don't want to disrupt that or cause any problems with this team. Terry has, like I said, she's done an amazing job and continues to do an amazing job. And we have a wonderful group of providers and staff that they know what they're doing. And the last thing they need is for me to get in the way and prevent them from doing that amazing work. So my goal is to just support them, help them to keep that going, and work with them and the community to identify what else can we be doing to help the community to get better care or come up with more creative ways to help and serve and work with our board of directors to figure out the solutions as well. I know that's pretty vague, but that's my vision is to just really not get in the way and be creative and figuring out more solutions with the amazing teams and community.
Whitmer is not the only new face at the health center that, like many healthcare establishments across the country, has found itself struggling to hire and retain qualified professionals after losing the bulk of their providers last year to jobs outside the area. Traveling providers called locums have been on a rotation as Redwoods Rural Health Center administration sought providers that would not only meet the needs of the clinic's patients, but integrate into the community long term, an obstacle faced by many rural health providers. Over the last year, many patients of Redwoods Rural have reached out, expressing concern and frustration not only with the lack of permanent providers, but communication from the clinic itself.
It's also confusing because nobody seems to be able to say what is going on there, why it's so impossible now to get a provider. And I mean, I understand that it's hard in Humboldt County to get doctors and nurses up here anyway, but it seems pretty extreme. When I first lost the provider that I'd been seeing for probably 15 years and he left Redwoods Rural, I thought, okay, well, then I'll find someone else there. And then it turned out that there were two or three other people that had been there for years, and they all left at the same time. So I thought that was really odd. I didn't understand that. And so I called and said, well, are you getting anyone new? And they said, well, we're only going to have locums, the short-term people, until we can find somebody long-term. And that went on for quite a while, months and months and months. And at this point, I don't even know how long I've been waiting. So, I'm older and I have several chronic conditions, and I wanted somebody that, would be able to stick with me and understand what I need. So I was feeling pretty disappointed in all that.
Though the lack of providers has been concerning to patients, it is a problem all too common facing rural healthcare centers. Around 20% of Americans live in rural areas, but barely one-tenth of physicians practice there. The federal government projects a shortage of over 20,000 primary care physicians in rural areas by 2025. This shortage has had an acute impact at Redwoods Rural over the past year, leaving those loyal, longtime patients of the clinic considering seeking healthcare elsewhere.
I'm getting a little weary. I don't want to. I love Redwoods Rural Health Center, and that's the reason why I've chosen to stay with them as long. But as of right now and what I've experienced over the past 6 months to 2 years, I'm getting a little weary. You know, it's one thing going in for a routine checkup. It's another when you're starting to have more serious health issues. I don't want to see a brainy person that may only be there for a week or two, or maybe a month or two, or maybe the contract's not going to be extended for whatever reason. I would like to have consistency and being able to have a long-term provider there once again that I connect with. And I know it's hard to find them, but I'm getting a little weary. I just want to deal with people who can actually meet my needs.
However, in addition to hiring the new executive director, Redwoods Rural Health Center announced the addition of 4 permanent providers joining the practice that is not unaware of the hurdles faced during the last year.
So nationwide, there is a shortage of healthcare providers. And I know our community is very aware that Redwoods Rural Health Center for the last year has been working really hard to hire permanent medical providers who, will move and live in our community. And we are very excited that we have onboarded new permanent medical providers. The community has been waiting for this announcement for many, many, many months. Seth is really working hard to solidify the teams. We wanted to make sure everybody knew that we did hire a new physician assistant, Jennifer Fountain. She started a couple months ago, and now the community has started to see her and really love the type of care that she provides. Additionally, we did recently onboard Dr. Emily Marshall, and she is strengthening our medical team. She brings obviously a breadth of experience to our team. So now we have Dr. Scheel, who's been the backbone of our medical team for many years, and added a female physician to help the community with their needs. And then we're looking forward to onboarding two new medical providers. Their names are Anne Njoku. She's a family nurse practitioner coming up. She actually lives in Davis. Her family lives down there. She's coming up to be part of our team. She has a lot of pediatric experience, will be really a new addition to, you know, the team dynamic, really helping to strengthen our perinatal department. Additionally, we have another new hire, Morgan Coffey, who's moving here. She is a family nurse practitioner as well. And she has this love of what's called, quote unquote, functional medicine, where she has a specialty in understanding how herbal medicine, herbs interact with the pharmacopoeia, allopathic medicine, which is a big plus for our community, since a lot of people here do take vitamins and herbs and supplements. Really having that knowledge to add to the team is a cool new addition. So we just really want to say thank you to the community for their patience. We did have a lot of temporary medical providers, and I know that was hard, not knowing that you'd have that continuity of care. And so we're very excited that we have solidified our medical team.
With the new providers available to the community, patients are encouraged to contact the front desk to pick the provider best suited to their individual health needs to establish the level of care that they have come to know and expect from the beloved health center.
So internally, our team is doing a lot to identify which patients we're seeing, the what we call locum providers. Those are the traveling temporary providers. And now working on the scheduling matrix to schedule with the new permanent providers. So I think, like you're saying, that takes a lot of communication and outreach. The public also has the opportunity. Any patient can call in, and, you know, every patient has a specific health need. So sometimes one provider, one medical personnel staff member is better to meet that patient's needs. So the patients can also call in and talk to the medical front desk to see what type of appointment they need and who is best to serve those needs in the future.
For his part, Whitmer hopes to build a rewarding work environment that benefits staff and patients alike, leaning on his faith that he identifies as a driving force in his life.
I'm a believer that compassion leads to forgiveness, and that is the way to combat some of the ills we find in the workplace, which some of the most common are gossip. That leads, you know, going to work feeling like, oh, I don't want to go to work because people are gossiping, or, you know, I don't like working with this person because of the negative experience that I have. And so I really try to focus on helping people to think about gratitude for others. And that gratitude leads us to having compassion. And then that compassion leads us to having forgiveness. And so to me, that comes from my faith. But I think that those principles are universal. And I've seen that. I've seen that in the workplace, that when we try to focus on things that we're grateful for, and that might sound kind of silly to think about, right? Well, you know, I'm going to think about things I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for, I don't know, my car. I'm grateful for my home, right? And those things can be silly, but when we try to take it a step further and think about maybe the non-tangibles, right? We think about the relationships that we're grateful for, or the acts of kindness that we're grateful for. It can start to change our perspective, and it's backed up by research as well, that when we focus. When we spend the time to focus on gratitude, it rewires our brain. It rewires the way that we think. And then rather than having negative thoughts towards other people, we have positive thoughts towards them. And then we can start to put ourselves into their shoes. We can start to do kind things for them. And gratitude is that way of having compassion. I mean, gratitude has been, it's been said, it is the parent of all other virtues. And I believe that you can't have compassion without gratitude. You can't have honesty, true honesty, without gratitude. And then when you get to that compassion stage, you're able to then realize, hey, people are human. They make mistakes. And I can forgive people for the things that they've done. And when you look at a place that you want to work, aren't those three principles the place you want to be at?
Though some may question an executive director placing a high emphasis on faith, especially given the current climate in Humboldt County following the recent lawsuit filed and then settled against Providence St. Joseph, the only hospital in the county with a labor and delivery ward, after the hospital allegedly denied a woman emergency abortion care to save her life when she began miscarrying twins at 15 weeks. Whitmer believes that putting patient care first is the priority.
I think my faith would really try to focus on how can we help this person. I guess I don't know what situation I would ever be in that I would be saying I would deny someone any kind of service, especially with health care. But I've never been even put in a situation where that would be a possibility. It's always been, this person is in need of care and we give them the care. So I guess that's my answer. It's always taking care of the person and making sure that they're taken care of and provided for.
With the addition of Whitmore, Redwoods Rural appears to be overcoming the challenges faced this last year. The Rural Center has recently added the Ochin Epic system, which Clemenson said will be beneficial to the Redwoods Rural patient experience.
That literally was the pivotal component, because the patients will, you know, when we go live, you know, changing the electronic health record directly and when the patient shows up, it changes their whole experience. So it's really important for the patients to understand, and we would just be super grateful, you know, to educate the patients about the fact that we are changing the electronic health record, and their experience will change from the moment they enter the building. And we just ask for patience through that process, because we're learning as they experience the new process. And just kind of like Seth always says, extreme gratitude for everybody's compassion and patience through that new process.
Ochin Epic is just the latest in upgrades the facility has instituted after expanding services under the previous executive director's leadership to meet the various healthcare needs of the South County, with plans for future collaboration with Soham Health in Garberville.
We offer medical services, and as we discussed, our medical team is expanding. So we're very excited about, you know, the access to care for the community. You know, we serve Southern Humboldt, Northern Mendo, and part of Trinity counties, and it's very important that we strengthened our medical team. So that's a huge deal that we've been working on for literally a year. Also, we do have dental services, which are pivotal to community, because people come from all over Humboldt and beyond to seek dental care from Redwoods Rural Health Center. We have two dental buildings in Redway, both at 101 West Coast Road and 217 Bryceland. Additionally, we do have a behavioral health team, and those we do have a wait list for behavioral health. You can always call and get on that list. We did, in the last couple weeks, actually receive a new federal behavioral health grant, where we will potentially be working on hiring one more behavioral health counselor. So we will be, you know, rolling out that team expansion potentially in the next 3 to 6 months. Hiring takes a while. We want to be careful about that endeavor. As you also know, we have a case management team that works very hard to help the houseless community or people who might be houseless, because many people have economic hardships right now, and those people are also eligible for case management. So case management can help people with their documents, with connecting with resources and potential housing opportunities in Northern Humboldt, where there's are more buildable, real opportunities. So if community members want to hook up with those services, those are also accessible through Redwoods Rural Health Center. And I want to say that we have an amazing acupuncture and chiropractic team as well. In addition to services in Redway, we have an office in Fortuna. They have acupuncture, chiropractic, and a really great medical team. So there are services in Redway and Fortuna, and we appreciate everybody for reaching out and connecting with our team.
With the clinic on an upswing after surmounting many trying hurdles, Whitmer is happy to be joining the existing Redwoods Rural team.
Yeah, we have a great team here. Terry's done a wonderful job at leading the team, and very grateful to have her, grateful for all of our providers that we have. And they've also just really worked hard to provide tremendous care and hold things together. This epic implementation that Terry also mentioned, it's not just that it's expensive, it is labor intensive. Because our providers and our staff have to continue doing their normal job. Plus, they're trying to learn this new system all at the same time, and it is a challenge. And it is no simple feat. So really just an amazing team for everything that they're doing to make this happen on top of all of the other work that they're doing. I mean, what an outstanding team. This is just... I'm very, very grateful to be here and see this team just working so hard. So hope I can be a good support to them.
Additional information about Executive Director Seth Whitmer can be found at Seth Whitmer, SethWhitmer.com. To schedule an appointment at Redwoods Rural Health Center, dial 707-923-2784 to discuss your healthcare needs. Turning to Mendocino, the Fort Bragg City Council allocated $20,000 to buy a new freezer for the Mendocino County Humane Society and hired an event coordinator to help plan the city's first Blues Fest. KZYX's Michelle Blackwell brings you the details.
The October 28th Fort Bragg City Council meeting was mostly uneventful. Two items drew interest from the public. The council approved the use of $20,000 in special AB funding for the purchase of a freezer and gave a nod to City Manager Isaac Whippy to hire Pam Bell to develop a blues festival in 2025 in conjunction with the Visit Fort Bragg Committee. Under the consent calendar, the council approved agreements with PG&E for relocation and upgrade to facilitate the solar project at the CV Star Center, authorized change orders for the City Hall roof replacement, accepted federal funding in the amount of $10.3 million for the municipal broadband project, and approved a professional services contract for administration services of the broadband project. The Mendocino Coast Humane Society provides animal care services for the city and is also tasked with the disposal of dead pets that are found on the road or that have been euthanized due to illness. Judy Martin, the executive director of the Humane Society, explains.
Hey, I'm requesting funds for us to upgrade our freezer because, as most of you know, we aren't just an animal shelter, but we are also a vet clinic, and we work very closely with the police department, which also means that we have to safely and humanely hold bodies of animals until they can get over to cremation area in Sacramento. What we have now is very small. We have a lot of publicly owned animals that we humanely euthanize for the people, and then they can't take them, so we take them for them. And because our freezers are so small, I have to go to Sacramento quite often to take all these over there. And we also, because we work with the City of Fort Bragg, you know, if there's a cat or a dog or something that's deceased on the road, I mean, it comes to the police department or my freezer. And so we kind of are running out of space. It's very difficult for us to use what we have.
Community support at the meeting for the expenditure was unanimous. Shelley Green said this.
Thank you for your ongoing support of our local Mendocino Coast Humane Society. Your funding of a freezer for the Humane Society makes it possible for their love and dedication to go where most of us would fear to tread. Your providing a freezer for the Humane Society allows them to offer peace as the final act of caring for our dear animal friends. We have only two veterinary clinics here on the coast, and their waiting list for new clients is months long. They send you to the Mendocino Coast Humane Society.
Councilmember Alvin Smith expressed concerns about the funding source, but ultimately approved the expenditure with the rest of the council. Pam Bell provided a presentation to the City Council with input from City Manager Isaac Whippy regarding using city funds to develop an annual blues festival in Fort Bragg. The festival would be planned in shoulder months to boost tourism. so-called shoulder months are when tourists are less likely to stay over in local accommodations and spend money at local restaurants. The initial target was for February, but several people in the audience and Councilmember Alvin Smith expressed concerns about the timeline.
I think 4 months is really ambitious. My first question, I guess, I looked on your resume as fast as I could, and have you ever done a jazz and blues festival?
To answer question number one, we are reconsidering 4 months. It was really just something Isaac and I started talking about this for real in October, and we were trying to get it into shoulder season and not compete with the Whale Festival and all the other things. So
agreed.
We realize that that's very short, and we are open to, and you know, certainly changing that date. I have never planned a music festival. No, I was a marketing consultant for the Mendocino Music Festival this summer. I'm also a project manager and marketing manager.
Additional concerns came up about the use of Cotton Auditorium from both a cost perspective and because of the middle school being in session. Bell indicated that her plans included the use of private venues like the local breweries. There was also concern from the Visit Fort Bragg Committee about being left out of the planning.
Good evening, council members. My name is Deborah DeGraw. I'm the marketing director for North Coast Brewing Company, and I am also a member of the Visit Fort Bragg Committee. The Visit Fort Bragg Committee is tasked with receiving and reviewing requests for events, including entertainment and festivals. And to be honest, I kind of feel like we've been bypassed here. And part of this, Visit Fort Bragg has not received any information to review for this Bluegrass Festival. So I feel we should be discussing these before they come to you, so we can make a recommendation if it's not already in our budget. Just from experience, because I ran the Whale Festival for years, you do have to start a year in advance. So I would urge the City Council to please push this back to our committee. I think we need to do our due diligence in reviewing and researching. I know Isaac's been talking to people, and I've talked to lodging as well. There are questions I think as a committee we would be asking. Where did the funds come from to pay for bands, insurance, security, venue fees, marketing? What is the ROI? What are the demographics? Who are we trying to bring here for a music festival? Are we bringing people that are going to actually eat and buy alcohol and shop? Or are they going to come in and have a cup of tea? You know, you have to make it worth the while of the venues you're expecting to put up the artists. And last, I just want to see what are the roles and responsibilities between any music coordinator and the idea co-op. And if we're going to do something, I say let's get a few more than one planner. Let's get some bids from people to see if we're doing something this large. Thank you.
The council gave Whippy the nod, but requested that Pam Bell work with the Visit Fort Bragg committee going forward. For KZUAX News, I'm Michelle Blackwell.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Patricia Tinkler, and thanks to our reporter, Michelle Blackwell. KMA News is online. You can find us on KMUD.org, SoundCloud, Instagram, and Facebook. That's where you can see related stories, links, and videos. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kma.org. Reporting from the KMUD studio in Redway, I'm Lisa Music.